الحمد لله الذي أرسل إلينا رسولا كريما الحمد لله الذي أرسل إلينا رسولا كريما وأنزل عليه شرحا حكيما وهدانا جميعا إلى صراط مستقيما وفضلنا على كثير ممن خلق تفضيلا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لتبلون في أموالكم وأنفسكم ولتسمعن من الذين أوتوا الكتاب ومن الذين أشركوا أذى كثيرا وإن تصبروا وتتقوا فإن ذلك من عزم الأمور وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والتسليم إن الله عز وجل ليملي الظالم إذا أخذه لم يفلته إذن قال النبي عليه الصلاة والتسليم يوشك أن يأتي على أمتي زمان لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه ولا من القرآن إلا رسمه مساجدهم عامرة وهي خراب من الهدى صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. میرے محترم بھائیو اور دوستو اور بزرگان دین علماء اکرام, اللہ جل شانہ امن والہ نے مجھے اور آپ کو اسلام کے دائرے میں شامل فرما کر اور وانا من المسلمین کا یہ منصب عطا فرما کر اس قدر عظیم الشان نعمت بخشی ہے جس کی صحیح قدر خدا کی قسم انتقال کے بعد ہی ہمیں ہو سکے گی, جبکہ کفار اس کی بھی امید رکھیں گے. ربما یود الذین کفروا لو کانوا مسلمین. When the Muslims on the day of judgment will be salvated, and Allah Jalla Shanuhu, on account of the iman of that Muslim, as weak as he may be and as weak as he will be, ultimately Allah Jalla Shanuhu will pardon that Muslim simply for having belonging to the fraternity of Islam. And the kuffar, on seeing that we have been neglected or we have been left out from all the bliss and the blessings of the akhirat, this is the verse that gives you the whole description, that at that time the kuffar will say, لَوْ كُنَّا مُسْلِمِينَ, had we only been Muslims, even if it means for namesake. To belong to the category of Islam, respected brothers, is no ordinary and insignificant issue. The value will be exposed to us only on the day of judgment, when all the past accounts will be forgotten, and now we are looking at the future for illimitable ages. Then only will we appreciate what really it meant for being a Muslim in this world. Indirectly or directly, what I am referring to is, respected brothers, is that our Islam has been utmostly generous and kind towards us for promising us to take care of us for an eternal and everlasting future in the life after death. This is how generous your and my Islam is towards us. It has promised and guaranteed to take care of you, and you are now in my good hands. Never will I disappoint you at any stage. I will take care of you for not 1 or 2 years or 1 or 2 centuries, I will take care of you for eternity. For aeons and aeons, for illimitable ages. Let us compare this world now, or this life of ours, which probably is an age of 50 years, or some others 60, 100, 100 years, that's a normal longevity of people. What is 100 years compared to billions of years of the Akhirat? The ulama-i deen go to the extent to explain it that if a bird, for instance, the entire vacuum from this earth till the heavens is filled with grain, and a bird is appointed to peck one grain at every interval of 1 million years, there will come a stage that the grain will be exhausted, but the akhirat will still not be exhausted. In simple terms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it's an everlasting abode. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ وَأَبْقَى. And akhirat is better and lasting. وَالْعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَشَدُّ وَأَبْقَى. And the punishment of the hereafter is also severe and also lasting. So whether it is the benevolence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both of them are illimitable. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ. And the Jews said, Allah's hands are closed. Maghlula, they are wrapped up. Allah Ta'ala's hand is closed, meaning that Allah is not generous, because Allah Ta'ala is asking for charity. He needs our charity. He makes our tashkil. Man dhal ladhi yuqridu Allah? Who is there to give a loan to Allah? So Allah needs our loan, He needs our money. We are the bankers, we are the finances. So Allah also has realized where money lies by the Jews. So therefore He's asking for charity from us. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا. Their hands are closed and they are cursed for what they have said. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ. In fact, he's both his hands, not one hand. Both of his hands are widespread. The Jews had remarked of one single hand of Allah. Allah says, let alone one hand of mine, my two hands are widespread. I was quite concerned to know as to what is referred to as the two hands over here in this verse. I couldn't find it so easily until finally I went into Muzihul Quran, Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Rahmatullah Alayhi's translation. That's where he mentioned Yade Rahmat was Yade Zahmat. The two hands means the hands of mercy and the hands of wrath of Allah Ta'ala. Both the hands are widespread. So you may decide which of these two hands you want to benefit. Whether you want to draw Allah Ta'ala's rahmat towards yourself or the zahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, my respected brothers, seeing that we are seated here today, it is an indication for our deep concern for the Muslim world. And it is supposed to be such, according to the hadith. He who does not show any concern with regards to the affairs of my ummah, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, he does not belong in a rank of Islam. This is part and parcel of our duty. I used to mention this even during the Babri Masjid issue. I said, brothers, let us not be beguiled, or let us not take it for granted that this incident has happened due to the misdeeds of the Muslims of India or the neglect of the Muslims of India. This is actually a reading of the Muslims of the Iman, the devotion, dedication and Islam of the entire Muslim world. We have all contributed towards that on equal basis from wherever we are in the world. It is only just that sometimes if the blood has become impure, it needs purification. But maybe certain portion of the body was weaker than the other, that is where it just shot out. So we cannot refer that this weakness was on this part of the body only and the rest of the blood was quite sound. It needs purification entirely. So the whole Muslim world need to get down together and say and ask, in which way did I neglect this issue, whereby today the suffering has come about on apparently on the Babri Masjid, but in actual fact in the Muslim world entirely. Respected brothers, there may be people who even could be saying, what is the need for making such a huge cry and clamor about it? It was one single masjid which was hardly been populated, hardly been visited by Muslims. It was in an area, there were hardly any Muslims living in the area. Why should we make such a big clamor about it? Leave it. We've got millions of other masjids to look after and take care of. Respected brothers, it's not a question of the structure as old as it was. Even if it was in existence today, it had already come to a stage where it had to be renovated or at least re-established or rebuilt, because it was a historical masjid during the Mughal times. It's not the question of the walls. It's not the question of the site. It is a question of Sha'airul Islam. When a Sha'air of Islam has been affected and it has been attacked, it becomes, every Muslim becomes duty bound to salvate it to the best of his ability, might and main. He has to devote his entire self, his health and wealth towards it, until finally he succeeds in restoring it to its position. وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. And whosoever venerates the Sha'ai, the symbols of Islam, that is an offshoot of the heart, the taqwa and piety of his heart. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the bounds of Allah. These bounds have to be taken care of, and this is the only purpose and reason for which Allah Ta'ala has given us life. We are very big percentage of the Muslim Ummah also has drifted away, has made material its purpose of life. We need to come back to our roots. We cannot be carried away by the kuffar, the non-Muslim world, whose only purpose, be all and end all, is materialism, comforts, bodily urges to satisfy them, and this is what they are living for. We are living for the pleasure of Allah, even if it means that we live in poverty from the cradle up to the grave. Even if we have dry bread, simple dry bread to live on just to survive, the object is just to survive. The butter and jam can come later on. If it comes, well and good. If it doesn't come, still it is well and good. Because we Muslims, we've got something far more sublime to strive for and live for other than these things. If that comes, alhamdulillah, Islam has approved of that. Comforts of life also, convenience also is part and parcel of Islam. Alhamdulillah, being a moderate religion, doesn't divorce anything. But one should be able to draw a line. Never at the cost of our religion should we put up our empires. This is where danger comes about. That type of a material, that type of an empire, and those type of a children can turn out to be a disaster. Why are we suffering sometimes on behalf of our children, and sometimes the same material reverses on us? There must be something. We need to instantly go into the history and see where we have we missed out. However, my respected brothers in Islam, we are hearing, we are reading quite a bit of what is happening in the Muslim world. Length and breadth of the world, all along the line, the kuffar have now concerted all their efforts against one single ummah, and that is the ummah of Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was already predicted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُوشَكُ الْأُمَمُ أَن تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْآكِلَةُ عَلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا. Soon, the nations of the world will be calling each other to devour you. They will be concerting their efforts, and they will be plotting and conspiring against you collectively, be he a Hindu or a mushrik, a polytheist, a Christian or a Jew, irrespective of what denomination he belongs to. They will all unite. They will become one single league against you. Al-kufru millatun wahida, on one single platform, and you will be a single-handed person on the opposite platform, because kufra and Islam has always been at loggerheads from its day of Genesis. Amirul Mu'mineen Mullah Muhammad Umar had mentioned this even before Ramadan, addressing the Muslim community of Afghanistan, that listen, this is from day one, not only from the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time, Islam and kufr has always been at odds with each other. They have never reconciled. Never was it in history, because one is zulumat and one is nur. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the two of them. Allahu nuru samawa, Allahu waliyul ladina amanu yukhrijuhum min az-zulumat ila nur. Allah is the friend of the believers. Allah Ta'ala delivers these believers from the zulumat, from the darknesses, plural, zulumat, darknesses, plural, ila nur, towards one light. So it shows that darkness are multifarious. Darkness are multiple. Nur is only one. Darkness can appear in a form of shirk, in a form of bid'ah, in a form of Judaism, Christianity, Yahudi, Hinduism. All these are various forms of darknesses. This is why Allah Ta'ala uses a term in a plural form, that all these are darknesses. That's why they all fall under one category. Noor is only one, not two. There is no compromise. Haqq is only one. Truth is only one. Noor is only one. Allah, and that is Allah. Right away now, this is exactly what is pricking the world, that this truth, somehow or the other, must be suppressed. Mullah Muhammad Umar mentioned to them that this is from day one an ongoing thing. This is inevitable, what is, has come about or coming about on us for this coming Ramadan. He mentioned, it is nothing strange and new. It had to come about, it's always going to continue. It happened in the past, it is happening now, it's going to continue in the future. No Muslim, no matter which part of the world he is going to be, will ever escape this type of an onslaughts. Whether on a collective basis, as what we have heard and we're still hearing of, or on an individual basis, it is coming on every person. Only that you and I, we are safe because we are not in such a great concentration, so we are left free for a time being. Otherwise, there is a worldwide, global conspiracy against every Muslim in every nook and corner of the world. This is the reason why we have to become alert now and not at the last moment and last stage. That time, if anything happens, we should blame our own self for not doing anything now while we have the opportunity to prepare ourselves. This is the reason why we need to become more and more dedicated. Every Muslim wants to know, how do I share this responsibility? What role do I play towards the present crisis of the Muslim world? We say we start off with our own selves. Let us upgrade our own lives. Let us go dedicate, become more and more dedicated. If we were 50% Muslim, practicing Muslims, let us at least add up, make it 60%. And then from 60% onwards, right up to 100%, must be some type of a progress instead of retrogress. But unfortunately, even after such global crisis that we hear of, which actually even takes away a person's sleeps, we find some Muslims are still going deeper and deeper into this type of disobedience, and even neglecting the deen and salat, etc. Respected brothers in Islam, the Quran, the hadith continues, يُشَكُلْ أُمَمُ أَن تَدَعَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Soon the ummats, the nations, will get together and they will invite each other towards devouring this Muslim. Here is a prey. We need to all enjoy ourselves from this prey. كَمَا تَدَعَ الْآكِلَةُ عَلَىٰ قَصْعَتِهَا. Like the gluttons normally would invite each other towards a dish, towards a feast. Come, let us all enjoy. Here is the prey, here is the food available. Let us all enjoy ourselves and eat to our full. وَمِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Sahaba Ikram inquired, will that be due to our minority, due to being meager in number, O Rasulullah of Allah, that the non-Muslims, kuffar, will take advantage and they would want to suppress us? قَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٌ. Not so, O my Sahaba, you will be in great number. Right away now, we are nothing less than 950 million Muslims. The Jews, the Israelites, are only 3 million, and the Arabs are 100 million. 3 million are jostling the 100 million. You can well imagine this, the preparations that they had made for the last 3 centuries under the label of Freemasonry. They started off, they did not care of seeing the results and the dividends of it instantly. They were firm that even if we do not see and we do not subjugate the human race, particularly that of the Muslims, our generations will see the results. And that is exactly what we are seeing here, that these very same Jews are making and turn and putting words onto the mouth of the Arabs. They speak in the very language where the kuffar are speaking. When the kuffar speaks terrorism, they speak the same same wordings, terrorism, least realizing that in between the wordings there is another message, Islamic terrorism. You don't use those words when it suits the kuffar. When they have their own interpretation, you do not support them. We read in newspapers and it hurts us when we hear the Arab Muslims speaking that we are anti-terrorism. You are using it at the wrong time. Who is not against terrorism? We will denounce terrorism, but not with the interpretation that the kuffar is actually trying to thrust it onto our tongues. We know what they mean when they use these words and terms. However, respected brothers, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمْ وَالْمَحَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your awe from the hearts of your enemies. They will not fear you. They will not have any type of fear about you, because you have lost that value, your authority. as a Muslim.
وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا.
And obey Allah. Comply to His commands.
وَرَسُولَهُ and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وَلَا تَفْشَلُوا and do not be disintegrated.
وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ
lest you lose your awe. This is what has happened today, that we are disintegrated. Once upon a time, the Ottoman Empire was ruling from east to west. Practically all the Arab states, they were under one single rule of Khilafat-e-Uthmaniyah. The Kuffar came in and disintegrated them into 9 empires right away now. Few years ago, we were one single unit, a single whole, and look what has happened, that we are against each other and we are actually standing to stab each other. This has become the condition, working on the very behest of the kuffar. Whereas we have been instructed by Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to always remain united. And these are 3 sufferings we have already undergone in the last century. And one of the 3 was this Khilafat-e-Uthmaniyah one. And the second one was the forceful occupation of Israel in the Arab land, which Sadat says that it's a dagger poked into the heart of the Arab world. And the third one is latest during the Iraq war, where now even the forces, the enemy forces, where Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even mentioned, أُخْرُجُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى مِنْ جَزِيرَةِ الْعَرَبِ, drive out the Jews and the Christians from the Arab Peninsula. After 1400 years, those forces came in, and majority of them again are Jews. Back into that land where they were driven out by Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, acting on the very command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After 1400 years, they gone back into it, and after the elapse of 5 years, it was instructed that now we want our citizenship of Saudiya. Saudiya says we do not grant citizenship, even you have to stay, like Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahab. We know after 40 years also you can't get citizenship. So America says that your laws does not count with regards to our forces. It is our law that counts wherever our forces go. This is the name of the game, my respected brothers.
وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهَنِ,
and Allah Ta'ala will instill and He will cast wahan in your hearts. You will become غُسَاءً كَالْغُسَاءِ السَّيْل. Your condition will become like the scum of the flood waters. It carries away all the blades of grass, the lighter, the hay, etc. It carries it with it because it's got no stability. It's got no grounding. Its roots are not even firm in the ground. Yes, if it's a firm a tree or so, maybe it will not be able to uproot it. But otherwise, blades of grass, easily it will carry you. Your condition will become like a scum of the flood waters, being carried away so easily. And Allah Ta'ala will cast wahan in your heart. وَمَا الْوَهْنُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكِرَاهَةُ الْمَوْتِ. What is that wahan? Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it is love for materialism. You will be engrossed in competing with people to see who is better, how much more I can excel him in material comforts and material pleasure. That will become our qibla, and that is what we're going to be fighting, and this is what we'll be yearning for. وَكَرَاهَةُ الْمَوْتِ, and second thing is that you will be disliking or detesting death. I want to live in this world as long as possible. Because we have invested everything in the world, why should we part from this world? Our object will be to remain with our empire where we have established. If we have advanced anything towards the Akhirat, we'll look forward for those days also. That, oh Allah, take me quickly because I've made so much of charity. Oh Allah, I've performed so many salats, so much of a hajj. I've given so much to the poor. Oh Allah, all this has been invested in the Akhirat. all those deposits which has been advanced, I would like to meet it. We'll look forward for those days. But when everything has already been invested only in this world and nothing for the akhirat, why should we look forward to the akhirat? Sahaba ikram, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala had given them their spirit. Whatever they wanted, whatever they had, they were generous enough. They had that yaqeen, that conviction that the akhirat is far more valuable than this world. However, my respected brothers in Islam, because we haven't been playing our role in life, this is the reason why today we see that the non-Muslim world, they are taking advantage of us. Whereas we had haqq, for which we would have given our entire life, and then afterwards we put forward our case to Allah. Certainly Allah Ta'ala will respond to our du'as. We need to create and generate strength in our du'as. It's not a question of just raising the du'a. Allahumma ahlikil yahuda wal nasara. Oh Allah, destroy them. In the meantime, we are imitating the very same yahuda and nasara in our lives. Allah Ta'ala will not just destroy them so easily. We have to cut away from their lives. We have a pattern of our own, the ideal form of Islam. We are supposed to enforce it into ourselves, into our community, in our individuals, etc., into our homes. Then certainly that type of a dua will have some type of a value. Then the weakest of weak, Allah Ta'ala will take care of him also, and Allah Ta'ala will utilize him for the sake of Islam in spite of all his weaknesses, simply because of his dedication and simply because of his sincerity. Abu Jahl, he was killed in the battle of Badr by two young children. The history had started off, the background was from Makkatul Mukarram already, where at one stage Abu Jahl, he slapped Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu right up on his ears. Jibreel Amin comes down to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he smiles at him and he ascends. He just gave him a smile and he ascended. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was astonished, amazed. Oh Jibreel, my Sahabi has been slapped and you are smiling. But no answer was given. However, the matter was forgiven and forgotten. It carried on for quite some time until it came to the Battle of Badr. Two young children, Ansars, they approached Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was very much weak, one of the weaker Sahabas. His feet also was very thin feet he had. These two children came to him and asked him, "Oh uncle, we have heard that Abu Jahl is a person who insults Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you kindly identify him to us? We are from Madinatul Munawwara, we have never seen him. You are from Makkatul Mukarrama, you've seen him, you know him. If you can only identify him to us, that's about all, and the rest of the job we will carry out." It wasn't very long when Abu Jahl was on site and Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala anhu referred to him to the two young boys. They went forward, one of them chopped his leg off, he fell down, the other one went to go and kill him. Then they came back to Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala, "Uncle, kindly, at least go and cut off his neck, because we are children, we are unable to do that. At least go and sever his neck from his body, so that at least we have some evidence the man has been killed." He goes there, and he asks Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to what to be done about his body. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "You can bring his neck over to me." Hazrat Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala goes and he cuts off his neck. And when cutting off his, before he even reached there, Abu Jahl was still breathing. He saw Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala coming forward. He said, "Oh Abdullah, I see your sword is not sharp enough. And I fear that if you're going to try to sever my neck with that sword of yours, you're going to only torture me. I'll be tortured, rather take my own sword and you may cut my neck off." This is what the world powers so-called. Insha'Allah, thumma insha'Allah, Allah Ta'ala will recoil, everything will recoil on them. It's a matter of time. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ نَذِيرٌ مَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا نُفُورًا. When the warners came to them, only nafrat, aversion increased in themselves. as the Nazirs came to them, the warners came to them, their aversion towards the Haqq and truth only increased. This is the nature and characteristic of a kafir. The more you remind him, the more rebellious he becomes. Why is it so? Why is that in their nature and tabiat? Istikbaran fil ardi wa makra sayyi. Due to their arrogant attitude in the land, wa makra sayyi, and their sinister plottings. They will do it in order to create, they say, a casus belli, a pretext, to justify their attacks on you. They will do it and then put the blame conveniently on yourself to realize that very agenda that they have already plotted and they have been scheming towards. Istikbaran fil ardi, right away. Now what we have been seeing for the last couple of months is nothing but these two things. Istikbaran fil ardi, due to the arrogant attitude, we shall do it. Afghans, your Allah may show mercy on you, but we will not show mercy. Meaning your Allah's mercy is subjugated and subject to our mercy. We and only we. This is exactly what the Fir'aun used to say. Ana rabbukumul a'la. I am your superior and I am your senior Rabb. Not just an ordinary Rabb. I am the senior one. Whoever said ana, Allah Ta'ala destroyed them. Alaysa li mulku misra wa hadhi lanharu tajri min tahti. Isn't the land of, this is again statements of Fir'aun, me and mine all the way. Isn't the land of Egypt mine, and this river that is river Nile, which is flowing beneath my feet, mine and my and me, all the way the same language. So Allah Ta'ala reversed it, that the day when he was destroyed, the river Nile was above him, and he was beneath that Nile. Where yesterday he was saying, I am above the river Nile, and the river Nile is beneath me. Allah Ta'ala does not like this type of a statement. خَلَقْتَنِي أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ Shaitan said, I am better than Adam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ. You have created me with fire, and have created him with soil. This he, me, and mine, and all that, Allah Ta'ala ultimately destroyed him too. Qarun came into the picture when he was told that Ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. You should be kind as Allah has been kind towards you, O Qarun. He says that this innama utituhu min ilmin indi, O Musa, what are you speaking of? That someone gave me, Allah gave me this. This is my intelligence. This is my knowledge. This is my acumen because of which I have accumulated it. Ultimately, Allah Ta'ala destroyed him. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضَ. So we destroyed him, we engulfed him into the earth, him and his entire Qaruniyat also went with him. So respected brothers in Islam, اِسْتِكْبَارًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَكْرَ السَّيِّ وَلَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِهِ. And the sinister plots only besets its very planners. It will not go to anyone else. Man only prepares for his own destruction in a different way. لا تحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم. Let the kuffar ever not deem and imagine that we are giving them respite and that is in their favor. إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما. We are giving them grace simply so that they can increase in sin. So that we have also a justification to destroy them when the moment will come. وَلَا يَحِيقُ الْمَكْرُ السَّيِّ إِلَّا بِأَهْلِي فَهَلْ يَنْزُرُونَ إِلَّا سُنَّةَ الْأَوَّلِينَ. Are they not only waiting for the procedure of the previous people and that had preceded them, of the previous nations, how we had destroyed them? Are they not waiting for a similar action on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
فلن تجد لسنة الله تبديلا ولن تجد لسنة الله تحويلا. Never will you find any type of alteration in the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala had destroyed the arrogant in the past. Allah ta'ala has the ability of doing it in today and even in future. It is a test on the Muslim world to see as to what extent they are they are going also going to play their role. How are they going to support the cause? And what is their share that they are going to also enjoy in this particular case that is going about, whether it is over in Palestine, whether it is in Afghanistan, Kosovo, in Kashmir, or wherever it may be, my respected brothers, we are one and single whole. We are one Muslims. We need to think for ourselves as to, oh Allah, in which way do I support this cause? Many a time the thought comes to mind, oh Allah, why did you not raise us up before we could even happen to have to see the plight of the Ummah? Whether it was the Babri issue or whether it is right away in Afghanistan in future, whatever it is. But then again another thought comes, why isn't that an attitude of escapism now? You don't want to face reality. This then the Sahaba Ikram also could have thought. But they stood, alhamdulillah, they withstood it gallantly. That was an opportunity Allah Ta'ala had given them to earn their akhirat, to establish the truth in the world and part from this world, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy the kuffar and the enemies of Islam. But we need to see as to what do I do towards it, in which way do I also contribute towards it, health, wealth, time, dua-wise, etc. Respected brothers, every day we should try to pray in some form or the other so that we have that form of our contribution also, because that is the right spirit of a Muslim. The Quran Pak speaks of وَلَوْ أَنَّا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْ يَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ أَوْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ مَا فَعَلُوهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ مِّنْهُمْ. Had we ordained upon them that they should slay each other, that they should slay, had we ordained upon them that they should slay each other, or they should take up to, or they should set out of the country and go into another country, ma fa'aluhu illa qalilun minhum, very few would have responded to this command of ours. Meaning, had we told them that you must now, as repentance, kill each other, that is a form of repentance, or that you must now depart from this land and go to another country, very few of them would have responded. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes forward and he said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell Allah jalla shanuhu, as yet he hasn't commanded us to do so. He only says, had we commanded them or had we ordained it upon them, request Allah ta'ala to ordain it and prescribe it upon us, and we will prove it out that we will certainly do exactly as Allah ta'ala says. If it means that we have to kill each other and slay each other, we'll carry that command out. And if it means that we have to set out toward another land, we'll do that also, because our object basically is to please the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything else comes secondary. My respected brothers, we have been hearing what has been going on in Kosovo also. It is supposed to be hurting our feelings. Recently again we heard of the Quran Sharif, how it was being burnt by the Hindus. Respected brothers, we are reciting the kalma La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. It is we who say our Quran is the final message. It is a message to live right up to Qiyamah, and we are convinced of the fact. Against what Aleister Crowley, the very chief of the Shaitanic church, he has died. He is facing whatever it is in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man was determined that the final book now is going to be the book of the shaitan, the shaitanic book, that is going to be the rule of the time. And every other book is going to be suppressed in the presence of this book, which is going to be the shaitanic book. And that is going to be the ruling power. According to that book, the world is going to be ruled. We maintain, alhamdulillah, not a jot of the Quran Sharif could be altered. It will not be altered right up to Qiyamah.
That particular Quran today has been desecrated by the Hindus in India, and we hardly did anything about it. If this was done to the Bible, to the Torah or Injil, then too we as Muslims, we maintain, as much as it has been altered, and with all its inconsistencies, and all its suppressions of wordings, etc., we would have still objected. Because there are certain word gleamings still existing of the original text. In some form or the other, here it happened, the Quran Sharif, and well, there was hardly any hue or cry in our country about it. We could have taken this up on a political level. We would have approached our people and tell them that this is what it is. Let our government take it up in some form or the other. Something has to be done. We cannot remain quiet, otherwise the kuffar are only taking advantage and they are going to town with us in everything, and they see that Muslims are just sitting, they are just accepting everything. This is the last attitude. We cannot remain just theorists in a form of complacency, that's all. Rather, we should remain active in all forms, in all ways, because Allah Ta'ala, this is part of it. Islam, alhamdulillah, it is a revolutionary ideology. Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity to pass this message to mankind wherever we go. This is the purpose. Hazrat Mullah Ali Miah Rahmatullah Ali had addressed even the brothers over in Canada. He mentioned that Allah Ta'ala has sent you. You did not come to this country on your own. And Allah Ta'ala sent you with a message. And this message must be imparted to the local people. The indigenous people must get the message. Because that is the purpose what you have come to this country for. And not to add up to the material of the country, or to upgrade the technology and science of the country. There are enough non-Muslims, kuffar, who are devoted for that purpose. If at all you have come a special mission apart from what you're going to study, whether in a technological field or medical field, that is part of your stay in the country. But the actual motive for coming to this country is to establish the name of Allah Ta'ala and to make the word of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala dominant. We live for that purpose. If we are going to announce the kibriya of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala over our minaras, this must be exercised in practice also. When we're telling the world, let them get the message clear, let them not hear it throughout their lifetime, kuffara, listening to the azans, that something has been said over this minara, and yet they don't know what the message is, because we are not doing and playing our role over and above that. In other words, this message is only for the Muslims to come to the masjid, and it is not a message to the world. In the meantime, four times in the beginning of the azan, we are saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. The world must get the message inclusive, not only the Muslim. The object of azan was not only that the Muslim must be reminded that it's time for your salat. Rather, the entire world must get the message. When non-Muslims are not going to see what we're going to do in the masjid, when is he going to know the translation of that azan? When is he going to get that message? On the day of judgment, the man has been hearing the azan but never responded to it, because it was not demonstrated, it was not interpreted to him. It was not displayed to him in its proper form that this is what actually it means, this azan. Four times the kibriya of Allah, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, is announced to impress it on mankind that Allah is greater than the four directions, east, west, and north, and south. And right towards the end, after Hayya Alal Falah, come towards success. If Allah Ta'ala distributes and dishes out success to all humanity to the fullest of their desires, then too it will not cause any depletion in the very court of Allah Ta'ala in His treasures. Therefore Allah Ta'ala repeats towards the end, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great and Allah great. Allah remains great. I would translate it that way. The first four times Allah is great, and the last two times I will say Allah remains great. Because He distributed the falah in between to you and I and the whole human race, or whoever went to go and ask and beseech Him. Allah Ta'ala again remains great as much as He was great in the beginning and at every time. So my respected brothers, this is what we need to look at it, is what is now happening, and now what is our duty towards it. What happened in Kosovo? We are speaking still of one Babri Masjid. In Kosovo, rather in Bosnia, 800 masjids were demolished. 800 masjids. In Kosovo, 250 masjids. NATO have been stripping the Muslims of all their weapons. Why? Because we want peace in a country. And this is the policy. Sweet, beautiful wordings the shaitan puts onto their tongue. They find it easily in the dictionary. This is the tongue. Mass destruction weapons you have, therefore we're going to attack you. Gone, finished. Now that is an argument. Whether there is reality or not, it doesn't matter. That is what we feel. This is the language we know. These are the wordings we went through the dictionary, we found it. So it suits us best. Whenever it comes, whether in Palestine also, whenever it comes, peace at the cost and at the lives and at the expense of the Muslims. We want to speak peace. We want peace. At whose cost? At the cost of the Muslims. Never at the cost of the kuffar. You must give in. You must compromise. You must lose out. Not we. All the weapons are taken away from the Muslims. Hardly anything from the Serbs. And then giving them all the leeway to attack the Muslims. 250 masjids again here. Sheikh Muhyiddin Ahmadi explains that this is something worse, far worse than what's going on in Bosnia. I asked, in which way? What do you mean? He says that in Bosnia at least they were giving you the Bible, they were giving you the food. They were giving you the food with the Bible. That here's the food and take the Bible with you, converting our children towards Christianity. But in Kosovo, only the Bible, no more food. By force, you must now turn towards Christianity. Only the Bible, no more food. And then they say that your claims are unjustified, therefore now we are going to stop all type of relief work also. All supports are totally closed. I ask him, isn't this now going on? What is happening here? That this isn't this crusade. He said, it is worse than crusade. I said, how do you spell it? He said, crusade means a fair fight from both the sides. We are Muslim and a kafir, and they said, there is jihad as far as we are concerned, and it is carried out on an equal basis. Right away, now it's something worse than that, because the youth or the parents or the fathers of these children have been killed. And now these children, they are proselytizing them towards Christianity. They are killing them worse than what the fathers were killed. In other words, the fathers were killed physically, those parents and those fathers are going to Jannah. But the children now, they are making them non-Muslims. This child, naive child, doesn't understand anything. He goes for food, his stomach is hungry. Something, someone can help me out. He sees that this benign hand of a Christian missionary has come to me. Let me grab what he's got. In the meantime, this is where they're converting them towards Christianity. This is exactly what our ulama-i deen used to say during the Indo-Pak division and petition, that it is about time we have to drive the English from this country. Otherwise, tomorrow they will come when your names will be Mr. Bacon and Mr. Pig. This is exactly what is going to happen if we're not going to drive them out from this country instantly. Respected brothers, this is what is happening. Started from Kosovo, gone further and further and further. How far are they going to carry on? When during the Russian war was going on in Afghanistan, that time the brothers Maulana Masood Azhar explains, suddenly where they were at one locality, they found a helicopter coming down closer and suddenly just landed. And some people came out from the helicopter and they grabbed a young Muslim sister of ours and put her into the helicopter and immediately took off. Okay, that was part one. Then further up, not very far away, just a few meters high, and next minute they found the clothes are dropping from the helicopter. This is how. They had a mincing machine, human mincing machine, where Muslims, the Afghans, were actually passed through, mincing them, simply because of the kalama, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Afghanistan was living in peace, never intruded in anyone else's land. Want to live and let live. We want to live as independent people. That is our pride, and every nation likes it. There's nothing unique about it. It came, it was always this way or that way, someone or the other, Britain tried twice, Russia tried, now everyone else wants to do it. In the meantime, they were enjoying serenity, peace. They themselves, they testified. The community is testifying. What the peace we have seen here now, we have never seen in this country for ages already. And they, alhamdulillah, unified the community under one single administration. And the greatest of achievements they had made is that they had restored the rights, human rights, that every human being is looking for and every human is cherishing, and that is peace, comfort. Otherwise, no one's life was at ease. The Taliban stood up on this very same basis, that suddenly after the war was over and the Russians were now reversing, and when a general was told that why don't you look back at Russia, at Afghanistan and then return back to Russia, he said, I feel ashamed that after such a lengthy battle we have to now retreat unsuccessfully. But however, I will not look back, but let me leave the message behind that we have planted enough landmines that at least for the next 10 years the Afghan community will have to suffer its consequences. That today, at an average of 20 to 25 people are getting affected by the very same landmines. More than 10 million landmines were planted in the Afghan land by the Russians. Look how cruel men can become. In the meantime, it didn't belong to them, it was not their land. Why must they even plant one single landmine? Who will allow that to happen? The so-called superpowers of the world, will they allow that? When you are enjoying peace, you have all the rights. However, after the Russian war came about, that at one instance, there was lots of chaos and tumult in the whole country. At one instance in Kandahar, a mother came crying to the school or to the madrasa, complaining of some people who had kidnapped two young daughters of hers, or maybe one of her daughters and someone else's, or two young daughters, and they have plundered and kidnapped these two children and ran away. So about approximately 45 to 50 of the young students of the madrasa, they immediately, whatever they had in their hands, whether they had sticks or knife, they charged for them. Somehow or the other, they retrieved the two children and they hanged those two who had plundered those kidnappers. And then afterwards, it started off from there onwards that we will have to try to get this, we have to rid this community altogether from all this type of menaces. We must bring it to serenity and peace so that we can start living comfortably. This was the beginning. And ultimately, alhamdulillah, they had achieved that goal of theirs. So much so, on a single announcement, that from this coming year onwards, no opium will be grown in this land anymore. It was eradicated instantly. A person living deep into the mountains, isolated towards the borders, distance away from Kandahar, he was approached by someone that, why don't you carry on planting as it is, you are suffocating and there is so much of poverty and starvation. Who is going to be here to see whether you have planted it or not? He said, how dare, this is a command of Amirul Mu'mineen, which cannot be violated in any way. He abstained from it. He said, I'll rather suffer the poverty, but this is what I will not do, because Allah Ta'ala's rahmat will be snatched away from me. This is typical to what had happened, or something similar to the incident during the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he instructed the lady with leprosy that she must not come and make tawaf during public hours because it's causing disturbance to others. She abided to that. During only day, dinner, night, when there is hardly anyone making tawaf, that's the time she should come. Otherwise, public hours, she must abstain from the haram. She complied with that. After the demise of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, someone told her, why don't you continue now? You have the freedom. The man has already passed away. She said, how dare? Umar ibn Khattab was not a personality to be obeyed during his lifetime. Even after his death, he must be obeyed. Alhamdulillah, we had some type of a repetition. It was coming up. Islam was and is, inshallah, it is on the rise.
We don't have to become وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَلَوْنَ. Don't you lose courage. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, don't grieve. وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَلَوْنَ, you are most exalted. إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, only that you have to adhere and abide to Iman and Islam. Become proper, staunch, profound Muslims. Let us show that we are loving Islam, Muslims, even today, as much as it was in the past. Inshallah, it has come. My analysis from what has happened right away now, during Ramadan, what is happening is that there was pressure. I'm sorry for taking, inshallah, just summarize it in a few minutes now, that they were being pressurized all the time by the Western powers, that you must give in your Islam. This is a major difference that we have with you. Even if Sheikh Usama is being handed over, whatever it may be, it's not going to solve the problem. This was already a statement made over in April last year. The message was clear that we are not behind. It is just a pretext, a boogeyman. We are going to use him. But our object is Islam, which has come on rise already. Amirul Mu'mineen, once he was driving through Kandahar, and he happened to hit a child accidentally. Immediately he goes, after taking the child or putting the child aside or handing over the child to whatever arrangements, he goes and he surrenders to the police station. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Prime Minister, rather Prime Minister Shafi, is a very lowly, degrading title for his personality. He is a personality far beyond a Prime Minister Shafi. However, he goes and surrenders, and he says, this is what accidentally this child has been knocked by myself. I want the Islamic ruling to be passed against me. The parents found out about it. They went rushing to the police station, pleading to Amirul Mu'mineen, "Oh Amirul Mu'mineen, we have forgiven you, and kindly go back home. Why have you come over to the police station?" He said, since then that you have forgiven me, this was the first step. فَمَنْ عُفِيَ لَهُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ شَيْءٌ. Now the next step, فَاتِّبَاعٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَدَاعٌ إِلَيْهِ بِإِحْسَانٍ. There is a certain monetary penalty that I have to now forward to you. That we will hear from the Qazi, whatever that penalty will be, I will have to arrange for that, and then only I will go home. When it was told to him, plus minus 100,000 Pakistani rupees, he made the necessary arrangements, whether he had it or took a loan, whatever it is, he paid to those parents, and then afterwards he went home. This was the type of justice. He applied it and enforced it on himself. And there was another two incidents. One incident was right away when we were over that side, we heard that today an execution took place. And we just must see it, we want to see it physically. But however, we were sleeping and we were notified at a later stage only, where a Taliban happened to kill another person. And on that, after 2 weeks, execution took place on qisas, as equality and equal on equal retaliation basis, al qisas, which is equal retaliation, because he had killed, and in place of that now this person was killed himself. No mercy at all. Another incident where sodomy was actually committed by someone, and that also there was no mercy. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the law of the hadith had counted there. He was brought close to a particular wall, and that wall was thrown over the person, and that is how it is. So as a result, alhamdulillah, that fear went to the people, and this is exactly what the West could not see, and they could see for themselves that now it's becoming widespread. It is increasing, and it's going to have an effect on the other communities as well, and other countries also will come into the sphere of Islam, and this is exactly what they are interpreting as, that civilization is at a clash. When they speak of civilization as the clash, they speak in of the immoral civilization against the moral civilization of Islam. The immoral civilization of Kufra and Batil in the West against the moral civilization of Islam. They could see a rise is coming over there. This must be instantly suppressed, otherwise we will not be able to realize our one world agenda that we have in the world. Respected brother, this is the crux of it. But as I explained, that my personal understanding, what I have seen is that وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٍ. Many a prophets along whom many divines had fought, فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ.
they did not lose courage because of what had afflicted them in the path of Allah. وَمَا ضَعُفُوا, they did not weaken. وَمَسْتَكَانُوا, and they did not yield. وَمَسْتَكَانُوا, and they did not yield. This is exactly where the West wanted Amir al-Mu'mineen to yield towards kufra. He said, at no cost will I yield. I am duty bound to implement and enforce the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am only a servant of the Almighty Allah ta'ala. He sent me to this world to enforce the commands of Allah, to become an obedient servant. What happens after that, even if it means at the cost of hundreds and thousands of lives, it is worth our while, because ultimately Islam will spread out through those type of sacrifice. Our lana maulana wala maula lahum, we have a master Allah, they have no master. Qatlana fil jannah wa qatlahum fil nar, our maqtool, our shuhadas are all in paradise, the more the merrier. And their few also, they are in hell, and they are painful, torturously, and all the persecutions of hell, they are not coming back to report to us, but the reality cannot be evaded. However, Amir al-Mu'mineen was firm. We are only servants of Allah, we have a duty to perform, and we cannot compromise with kufr. As a result, he carried on and continued until forcibly it came to a stage that it was taken and snatched away from their hands by force. They did not give, they did not compromise, they did not yield towards kufra. Wamastakanu, they did not cut the string. This is an unbroken chain that from the visible hands of Amirul Mu'mineen and Taliban, from the visible hands of Amirul Mu'mineen and Taliban, it has gone, inshallah, into the invisible hands of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it was forcibly taken from them, and not that they did compromise. And this in itself, it is sufficient proof for your and my confidence and for our specification that inshallah it's going to make its return on its right time. And Allah knows whether you and I are there to see it or not. Whether name or label of Taliban remains or not does not matter. It is Islam that we are concerned about, and Islam is going back, and it's going to be the same area from where the forces for Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam are going to be prepared and they're going to be regrouped from there. Insha'Allah, you'll find that the forces are going to be prepared in that area, because that is the area what we call Khurasan, we call Asfahan. In the hadith is mentioned that Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, he's going to surface in Asfahan. Khurasan, Asfahan is that area, especially when you speak of Khurasan, it includes the entire area of Afghanistan, Pakistan, right up to going up to Iran. All that area is known as Khurasan. Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is going to surface there, and inshallah the forces will be prepared over there, because it has not been diminished. Had they compromised in between, before the war, with Islam, that was a greater fear for you and I, because we do not know how is it going to rebound now. It could have rebounded against them, it could have rebounded against you and I also, because the man has compromised for Islam. But they gave it in hands, in the safe hands of Allah. Oh Allah, we cannot hold it anymore. We held it to the best of our ability, with our health and with our wealth. The personality has lost his left eye also. The governor himself has lost his right leg. This is a type of sacrifice. Hazrat Amir al-Mu'mineen has lost in this battle his one son by the name of Yaqub. He was also being bombarded at one of the bombs when they were being shelled on his house. He also lost that. He lost his uncle, who was actually his father, because his uncle got married to his mother after the demise of his father, etc. And previous to that, 2 years ago also, he lost two brothers in a similar type of an incident where a truck was parked
with explosions in it. Amir al-Mu'mineen seen it for the last couple hours close to his house. He decided, let me see what is in there. However, he decided, first let me go into the house and I'm coming back. Another person happened to go there and saw it. He tried to ignite the car, the truck to drive it away from there, and it was actually remote control, and the person already had detonated it from a distance. As a result, that driver himself and many of his and two brothers of his also passed away. Sacrifice was tremendous, my respected brothers. Some people in our country are saying that this Amir al-Mu'mineen has betrayed. They are using these type of terms. My respected brothers, it is a question of our akhirat. How are we going to answer to Allah if we do not know the full history? Is better that we remain quiet about it, silent about it. Otherwise, these people, man aada li waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harb, whosoever is going to show enmity against my wali, I have pronounce and proclaim a harb against them. If we do not know, rather keep quiet. We are on a safe side. Other is a question in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this world and in akhirah too. Therefore, let us know the truth about it. Let us give du'as to these personalities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use them, insha'Allah, to ultimately destroy kufra, halakat for the kufra in the entire world. And Islam, a'la'i kalimatul Islam, is definitely there. Islam is on the rise and they cannot see it. It is just like that Banya fellow in India, that he was having a wrestling with a Muslim. Now suddenly that Banya, he wrestled the Muslim and he sat down on his chest. He's got him under control, the two hands, and he's sitting on his chest, and now he started screaming. The Banya is screaming himself. So the passerby asked him, "What are you screaming for? You got the man under control, he's suppressed, why are you screaming?" He said, "I'm scared that this man, when he's going to stand up, he's going to hit me. So I'm screaming for that moment in coming in future." Respected brothers, this is identical. This, the whole world is nothing but a Banya, in different terms. These all Banyas are only screaming because they can see the rise of Islam, but it is a natural deen. You cannot suppress. Islam is here to stay. Islam is here to exist. It's going to be the last religion before Qiyamah, when there will be no one saying Allah, Allah anymore. Instantly, Qiyamah is going to come then. That shows, on light of that hadith, that Islam is the religion to stay till the end. All other religions will give way before that. So trying to suppress Islam or try to wipe out Islam and do away or wish away Islam, it's not going to work out. Islam and the Muslims are there to, alhamdulillah, for us, this type of sacrifice is a pleasure. Because Allah Ta'ala is raising our status also. I'm concluding in the verse of the Holy Quran which I started in the beginning. لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ. You will certainly be tested out in your health and the wealth. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And you will certainly hear from the people of the book. And وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. And the mushrikeens, the polytheists, أَذًا كَثِيرًا. Many distressing wordings, many disappointing words you will hear from them. وَإِنْ تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. But if you exercise patience, and if you have to develop taqwa and piety in yourself, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ, that is among the resolute matters. لَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Never will the Jews and the Christians ever be pleased with you until you do not follow their creed. That is the aim. Follow our creed and we will shake hands with you. First-hand information I got from America just a few weeks ago, a brother comes from there and he says that it was announced that I am not in favor of those Muslims who go about killing others because of the beard. I am not in favor of such Muslims who go and kill women because of not wearing the hijab. I am not in favor of those Muslims who go and kill people because of sitting on the boob tube. So some Muslims suffering, we are suffering more a complex of being Orthodox Muslims than certain kuffar also. They felt that, hey, this is the right time now. They went forward and they shook hands. Are you waiting for Muslims like ourselves? We do not We are liberal type of Muslims. The man, he embraces him, said, yes, exactly, I'm waiting for you. This is the type of Muslims I like. Who will compromise with kufra, and who will compromise with the millat and the creed of the kuffar. Where he embraces them, but he will not embrace those Muslims who are staunch on the Islam and Iman. This shows that they have got some motives. They've got a plan. They want to wish away Islam. Respected brothers, they have given 50 years for Islam before they want to root it out from this world. Within 50 years, Islam must be non-existent. This is enough a message for you and I to stand up from today to try to reverse it. Insha'Allah, we will work on the reverse within 50 years. Kufr and batil must be wiped out from this earth. There's nothing impossible. In 1927, France had announced already that the unity of the Muslim world is simply because of the Kaaba that they have in Makkah al-Mukarramah. We must try to get rid of that Kaaba. That Kaaba must be demolished, and automatically the Muslim world will be disintegrated. That was a message. It was necessary. Not that we hear it from our ears. We receive it from our heart and start acting and reacting immediately with support of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will certainly help us. We need to stand up with the fervor and dedication and refer to Allah like those two young children of the Ansar. And alhamdulillah, because they were determined, they went forward. Alhamdulillah, they got rid of that kafir of the time and Abu Jahl of the time. This Allah ta'ala can. There are many taghuts, Abu Jahls of today's time also. Allah ta'ala can use us. There's nothing impossible. Allah wants to see our fervor. He wants to see our inner feelings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for all of us so that we can dedicate our life and spend our entire life. As I started off in the beginning, if Islam has been so generous to take care of us and give us security in the everlasting akhirat, all the more we should be generous during the short sojourn of the 40, 50 and 100 years. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. By durud sharif palijiye. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa sanadina wa maulana muhammadi wa ala alihi wa sahabihi ajma'in. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تحل بها العقد وتفرج بها الكرب اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تكون للنجاة وسيلة ولعلو الدرجة كفيلة ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا حنان يا منان يا بديع السماوات والأرض يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجى عندنا من أعمالنا يا الله تو ہمارے اوپر فضل فرما يا الله ہمارے اوپر تو احسان فرما يا الله ہم انتہائی درجہ کمزور ہے يا رحمان اے اللہ ہم تیرے نبی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امتی ہے اے اللہ تو ہماری لاج رکھ لے اے اللہ امت مرحومہ پر کرم فرما دے اے اللہ امت مرحومہ کو متحد فرما دے اے اللہ ان کی شیرازے کو اے اللہ متحد فرما دے اے اللہ تمام مسلمانوں کو ایک اور نیک فرما دے سارے عالم کے مسلمانوں کے لیے تو حفاظت اور حمایت کا فیصلہ فرما دے اے اللہ ظالمین کے ظلم سے اللہ تعالی ہمیں تو محفوظ فرما دے اے اللہ ظالمین کو ظلم سے باز آنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما دے اے اللہ ظالم نے دنیا کے اندر فساد پھیلانے کا فیصلہ کر دیا ہے اے اللہ تو ان کی ہتھیاروں کو کند فرما دے اے اللہ ان کے مشورے کو ناکام فرما دے ان کے آپس کے اندر ٹوٹ پھوٹ پیدا فرما دے اے اللہ ان کو ان کے مکروں کو الٹا انہی پر تو واپس لوٹا دے یا رحمان ان کے آپس کے اندر اختلاف پیدا فرما دے اے اللہ مسلمانوں کو اور اسلام کو عروج نصیب فرما اے اللہ ہمارے مساجد مقابر مدارس کی حفاظت فرما اے اللہ ایک ایک مسلمان کو اسلام میں مزید اتر جانے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اور اسلام کو اپناتے ہوئے اپنی زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق مرحمت فرما، اے اللہ ہمارے قرآن اور کعبہ کی حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ بیت المقدس کی حفاظت کے لیے غیب سے سامان پیدا فرما، اے اللہ فلسطینی مسلمانوں کی حمایت فرما، کوسوفو اور بوسنیا کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ چیچنیا اور افغانستان اور کشمیر کے مسلمانوں کو اے اللہ تعالیٰ کامیابی نصیب فرما، اے اللہ تو عراق اور یمن اور سودان اور صومالیہ اور تمام عالم کے مسلمانوں کی حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ کافر امنڈ پڑے ہیں، اے اللہ مسلمانوں کو مٹانے کی فکر میں لگ گئے ہیں، اے اللہ تو وہ تجھے عاجز نہیں کر سکتے، انہم لا یعجزون، اے اللہ وہ تجھے عاجز نہیں فرما سکتے، اے اللہ تو ان کے اوپر غالب ہے، اے اللہ تو اپنے قوت قاہرہ سے اے اللہ تو انتقام لے لے، یا رحمان تو ہماری حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ ہم کمزور صحیح لیکن تیرے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے لائے ہوئے کلمے اور آپ کے لائے ہوئے دین کے کاربند ہے، اے اللہ تو اسی نسبت کی لاز رکھتے ہوئے تو ہمارے لیے حفاظت کا فیصلہ فرما دے، جن جن قربانیوں کے ذریعے سے اے اللہ تو دنیا کے اندر ہدایت کو عام کیا کرتا ہے، اے اللہ ان تمام قربانیوں کو اپنانا ہمارے لیے آسان فرما دے، اے اللہ کافرین کو دنیا کے اندر ناکام فرما دے اور آخرت کے اندر اے اللہ سخت سزاؤں کے اندر ان کو مبتلا فرما دے، اے اللہ مسلمانوں کو ایک اور نیک فرما دے، اسلام کے کلمے کو اور جھنڈے کو سارے عالم کے اندر تو لہرا دے، تمام عالم کے مسلمانوں کی جانی اور مالی حمایت اور حفاظت فرما، عزت آبرو کی حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ جو پریشان حال ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما، اے اللہ جو قرض دار ہیں ان کو قرض کو غیب سے ادا کرنے کی توفیق مرحمت فرما، اے اللہ جتنی بھی پریشانیوں کے جس کے اندر مبتلا ہے اللہ تو اس کو بخوبی جانتا ہے، اے اللہ تو غیب سے ان کی نصرت فرما دے، اے اللہ ان کے ہر قسم کی کلفت سے ان کی اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو نکال دے، حبیب پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم جیسا بے چین دل ہمیں بھی نصیب فرما، آپ جیسی بے قراری ہمیں بھی نصیب فرما، قرآن پاک کو یا اللہ عملی جامہ پہنانے کی ہمیں توفیق نصیب فرما، اے اللہ ہمارے دلوں کے اندر روحانیت کو بڑھا دے، اے اللہ ہمارے اندر اخلاص بھر دے، اے اللہ ہمیں یقین کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما دے، سامعین میں سے ہر ایک کو تو قبول فرما، ہر ایک کو تو دین کا داعی بنا لے، ہر ایک کو دین کا مجاہد بنا لے، ہر ایک کو اسلام کے لیے اٹھ کھڑے ہونے کی توفیق نصیب فرما، اے اللہ سارے عالم کے اندر جب تک کہ دین نہ چمک جائے وہاں تک ہمیں قرار نہ آئے، اے اللہ تعالیٰ اسی توفیق ہمیں نصیب فرما دے، پروردگار ہمیں آگے قدم بڑھانے کی توفیق نصیب فرما، صحابہ اکرام جیسا ماحول ہمیں بھی نصیب فرما دے، گھر گھر کے اندر اے اللہ تعالیٰ دینی مدرسہ تو قائم فرما دے، اے گھر گھر کے اندر اللہ تعالیٰ تو دین کی فضا پیدا فرما دے، اور ہر قسم کی لغزشوں سے اللہ تعالیٰ ہمیں تو معاف فرما، ربنا علیک توکلنا وإلیک انبنا وإلیک المصیر، وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ اجمعین، سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون، وسلام علی المرسلین، والحمد للہ.